Good morning, honorable members. Welcome to this meeting, which is a meeting of the Portfolio Committee on Health. We are about to continue with the clause by clause deliberations on the NHI bill. This would be the second part of those deliberations, which we had started last week. You're all very welcome to this meeting. The members of the Portfolio Committee, the members from the National Department of Health officials, the members of the State Law Advisor, the Legal Advisor to Parliament, all other, my team, our team, of course, we have a standing secretary this morning. Thank you, Ms. Marcel Williams. And we have our team right at the far end there. Thank you very much this morning for attending. Before we proceed, honorable members, we would want to get an idea of attendance and apologies this morning. So we will get, who's that, Mbali? Yes, please give us those.
Morning, Chair. In the virtual platform, we have Dr. Thembe Kwayo, Ms. Chirwa, and Mr. Van Staden. Ms. Sukers will join later. I don't have any apologies.
Thank you very much. I'm just going to read the members who are here from that side. Honorable Ismail, Honorable Siwela, Honorable Munyai, Honorable Kaba, Honorable Gela, Honorable Klengwa, and Honorable Havat. Those are the members and myself, of course, present here this morning. Honorable members, before we continue, I would like to first read the rules. We must be reminded that this virtual meeting is deemed to be in the precinct of Parliament and therefore constitutes a meeting of a committee of the National Assembly for official purposes only. In addition to the rules of virtual sittings, the rules of the National Assembly, including the rules of debate, apply. Members enjoy the same powers and privileges that apply in the sitting of the National Assembly. Members should equally note that anything said in the virtual platform is deemed to have been said to the House and may be ruled upon. All members who have logged in shall be considered to be present and are requested to mute their microphones and only unmute when recognized.
Recording in progress.
This is because the microphones are very sensitive and will pick up noise which might disturb the attention of other members. When recognized to speak, please unmute your microphone and connect your video. Members may make use of the icons on the bar at the bottom of their screens, which has an option that allows a member to put up his or her hand to raise points of order. The Secretariat will assist in alerting the chairperson to members requesting to speak. When using the virtual system, members are urged to refrain or desist from unnecessary points of order or interjections. Now, honorable members, last week we had dealt with clauses two, the long title first, and then the introduction, and then we had briefly touched on the definitions. We had made a decision that we will deal with the definitions as we proceed with a bill where we find a particular word that is noted within the definitions as we move through the bill clause by clause. And then we had completed clauses 2 to 4, and we we're still going to get inputs on those two sections from the National Department of Health and the State Law Advisors. But for this morning's purposes, I will go straight to Clause 5. And we will then, I will do as we had done last week. I will read through Clause 5. Very welcome, honorable members. I will give you a moment to get seated. So also noted present are Honorables Wilson and Clark. So Honorable Members, I will start reading through the bill through Clause 5 up to the end of Clause 8. I will then go according to the sub-clauses, and you will then give your input on those as we proceed. After Clause 5, we will go to Clause 6. And we must be clear on that process, please. We are not going to have a repeat of last week, where we will have big inputs and long inputs from any members of this portfolio committee. We will deal with the work that is before us today, and that is to deal with the clauses as they are there. If I find or I think that you're going off on a discussion or a political debate or political input, I will stop you. We will deal with what is before us. I'm saying that for the last time today. Thank you, Honorable Members. It is page 8. Page 8, Honorable Members. I hope you have your bills with you. Clause 5, registration as users. If you're all there, I will start reading. A person who is eligible to receive healthcare services in accordance with Section 4 must register as a user with the fund at an accredited healthcare service provider or health establishment. That was subclause 1. Subclause 2, paragraph A. A person as contemplated in subsection 1 must register his or her child as a user with the fund at an accredited healthcare service provider or health establishment. Paragraph B, a child born to a user must be regarded as having been registered automatically at birth. Subclause 3, a person between 12 and 18 years of age may apply for registration.
Excuse me, Chairperson.
Or she is not registered as a user in terms of subsection.
Excuse me, Chairperson, can you hear me?
Subsection 4.
Person, can you hear me? Chairperson.
Honorable Tim McGuire.
No, I just wanted to ask, sorry to disturb you. On our emails, we got the agenda for today, which is the 8th of June. And according to the agenda, we are supposed to start immediately after there is apologies. Is the response by the Department of Health on policy issues, and then followed by the input by the parliamentary legal advisor and the state law advisor. And then is there that we proceed with clause by clause deliberations? Are we not keeping to the agenda as it was sent to us?
No, we are not, Honorable Temba Kwayo, for today. I thought with the privilege which I have as the chairperson that I will start with clause 5, and then we will come back to what is on that agenda in terms of the inputs from the department and the legal advisor from next week.
Well, Honorable Clark, but we never agreed on this. Are we all in agreement about what you say should be done today? Then what is the purpose of them setting us the agenda?
Thank you, Honorable.
We have the right. We have the right to talk on matters of the agenda.
I agree. So thank you very much. I hear what you are saying. I will take the hands as I had first seen them. Honorable Clark, then Honorable Munya, then Honorable Kaba, followed by Honorable Gela.
Chair, mine's just simple. I need a plug to plug my computer.
I did it, yeah.
Sorry, I didn't. Simple. I just need power for my computer.
Yes.
Please.
Can we get Honorable Clark assisted? How do we?
I have a power bank, but I'm a bit far.
Thank you, Honorable Professor. Yes, Honorable Munyoy.
Thank you very much. I didn't intend to debate. However, I agree with the direction of the chair that we proceed with clause 5. Thank you very much.
Honorable Kaba.
No, Chair, I think you have even included the inputs. It doesn't mean they are shifted out. There is time for them where they will be coming in. I think we support that we proceed. Thanks.
Honorable Gela.
Chair, thank you very much. I think just to save time, I want to support my colleagues. Let's proceed with the meeting.
Thank you. Honorable Wilson.
Thank you, Chairperson. I hear what Dr. Tebukwayo is coming from. I don't want to enter it into a debate, but we did receive an agenda, and I think, you know, we come prepared to work on the agenda as it's given to us. I do think that procedurally, we must consider next time if we're going to change the event, the agenda, just to get input from the committee before we proceed. Thank you.
Thank you. Honourable Chirwa.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I'm raising this in regards to the issue of order, that we're setting a very long precedent if we can just show up in a meeting and then change the agenda when we've prepared for something else completely different. I wasn't present in last week's meeting because my son was in hospital, but I received the agenda and I'm prepared for the agenda, and that we can just come to a meeting and that the business of the day is then changed with no adequate or proper reasoning given to us why the NTOH is no longer giving their presentation on what is noted in the agenda. I think we're setting a very wrong precedent. And I think the chair must be very careful of that. Can we just stick to the agenda as we are prepared for the agenda? And we want to hear from the NTOH on the issue that is noted in the agenda, not that they will come back on a different day, because that is not what was communicated to the members of this portfolio committee.
Thank you very much, honorable members, for your input in that, on that. I will state that, yes, you were forwarded an agenda. And yes, we had dealt with clauses 2 to 4. Those are three very short clauses. Within the powers which I do have, I had thought this morning that we should just go straight to clause 5, do as many of these clauses as we possibly can. And by next week, when we return, we will start with what is on that agenda. I do apologize to you, but I am also saying that we've started the process on reading through clause 5, and I will continue. I do note your inputs. Thank you very much for those inputs. We will continue. There was something else that I should have mentioned. Yes, our committee secretary, who is not well this morning. We wish her speedy recovery, Ms. Majalamba. My apologies for not having said this at the opening. And we hope you recover very soon. And Honorable Sukers also called to say that she's not well. And
she has joined.
Oh, and she's joined virtually. Thank you very much. So, honorable members, we shall continue. I hope you do understand. And yes, I did apologize. I was at clause 5, sub-clause or subsection 3. A person between 12 and 18 years of age may apply for registration as a user if he or she is not registered as a user in terms of subsection 2. Subclause 4, paragraph A. A supervising adult is contemplated in section 137, subsection 3 of the Children's Act 2005. Act number 38 of 2005 must register a child in the child-headed household concerned. And sub-clause 4, paragraph B, if no adult has been designated in terms of Section 137(2) of the Children's Act 2005, number 38 of 2005, any employee of an accredited healthcare service provider or health establishment must assist the child to be so registered. Subclause 5, when applying for registration as a user, the person concerned must provide his or her biometrics and such other information as may be prescribed, including fingerprints, photographs, proof of a habitual place of residence, and an identity card as identified in the Identification Act 1997, Act number 68 of 1997, B, an original birth certificate, or C, a refugee identity card issued in terms of the Refugees Act. Subclause 6, the minister, in consultation with the Minister of Home Affairs, may prescribe any further requirements for registration of foreign nationals contemplated in Section 4, Subsection 1, Paragraph E. Subclause 7, unaccredited health establishments whose particulars are published by the minister in the Gazette must, on behalf of the fund, maintain a register of all users containing such details as may be prescribed. Subclause 8, a user seeking healthcare services purchased for his or her benefit by the fund from an accredited healthcare service provider or health establishment must present proof of registration to that healthcare service provider or health establishment when seeking those healthcare services. So, honorable members, the process would be as following. I'm not going to read all of this again. I will mention clause 5, subclause 1, and I will ask the honorable members to raise the inputs on that part. I would then go to the next one and I would say clause 5, subclause 2, paragraph A. We'll deal with that one. We'll then go to paragraph B. We're all in agreement with that. Thank you very much. So, honorable members, we will go to clause 5, subclause 1. I see the hand of honorable Kaba.
Thanks, Chair, for your guidance and sharing us in the meeting. I think this is on page 8, as you have indicated. Chair, I would like to mention that the ANC supports this provision, and on the basis that it's being registered with the National Health Insurance Fund, must be linked to the population register as maintained by the Department of Home Affairs. Furthermore, Chair, the fund must endeavor to ensure the population registration process is automated and linked to the Department of Home Affairs database. Lastly, Chair, presenting to an accredited service provider should be the purpose of allocating a user to a provider who is accredited. This will enhance the planning process, including the determination of reimbursement strategy, such as capacitation to providers at PHC level, primary healthcare level. So, Chair, as ANC, we support the subsection 5.1. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Clark, followed by Honorable Ismail. And then Honorable Chirwa on the virtual platform, and then Honorable Wilson. Please just note when I mention you, because I will write, but...
Thank you, Chair. I understand the process you want us to follow, but I must say, in future, I will do it that way. I spent a lot of time yesterday preparing for this meeting, and my notes are all after the certain chapter. So I apologize that I'm not going to be able to do what you've just asked of me, but at the next meeting I will prepare in that vein. So Section 5.5 determines that in order to register as a user of the fund, a person is required to provide his or her biometric information and identity card, original birth certificate, or refugee identity card.
Honourable Clark, thank you. Sorry. Can you maybe hold on to that when you get to 5.5?
Okay. But what the problem is, I've put all my stuff together.
Would you not be able to just paste it out while we continue and maybe just have
some
a look
of
at it?
I can and some of it I can't, but I apologize. I'm really not a difficult person, and I'm going forward I will definitely do it in the way you would like us to do it, but as I say, I spent hours yesterday preparing for this meeting.
Chairperson.
Point of order, Chairperson.
Point of order, Honourable Chairwa.
Yes, Chairperson. I want to reiterate the sentiments that are being shared, because that is how I also prepared my notes that would just address Clause 5 as a whole. And in what we will be contributing to each clause would be in that manner. That, okay, for Clause 5, and then we just give out whatever we want to contribute without going subsections by subsection. I don't know if we can maybe attempt to do that or have space for people who want to contribute in that manner.
Chairperson, if I may.
Followed by me, Chairperson, also.
I just needed to get some have a talk here. So we've had Honourable Chirwa now. I heard Honourable Van Staden.
Yes.
And Honourable Dr. Chebukwayo.
Thank you, Chairperson. Now, if I can give some, how can you say it? If I can give some information regarding this matter in the other committee where we've handled the other bill of the Land Act, of what you call it, the Section 25. It was allowed for members then to summarize their inputs at the end of each chapter. I think it is more easier for members to do that as to go from little clause by clause by clause. I also have prepared the whole bill like this for at the end of each chapter. So I think we must be allowed the opportunity to do it in that way. Please, Chairperson.
I think, was Honourable Ismail, was your hand up? Yes, I'm trying to remember after Honourable. Yes, you want to speak on a point that was raised by the other members now or just after? All right. Who wants to speak on the points which were raised now? Honourables Monia, Ikaba, and Gela. And then
that is myself, Chairperson.
Sorry, Honourable Tembakwayo. Yes. First, Honourable Tembakwayo.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. I also agree to the sentiments that discussing point by point here and coming back, it's not going to work. We have prepared for the whole clause. If it's five, it's five. We will talk about it. If it's six, it's six, not one by one. And then we have long debates on one point issue here. We'll never finish. Thank you.
I mentioned Munia, Ikaba, Gela, and then Wilson. Please continue in that order.
Honourable Chair, I don't want us to engage in the debate. I want us to go by clause. Mm-hmm. When we start this process, you read us the rule that we are going to go clause by clause. Can we please accordingly go according to your guidance? And we finish the clause. We finish the process. I will plead that we proceed, please.
Chairperson, on a point of order.
Just, Mr. Honourable Munyaima.
Just
we agree on that we talk on this thing, the whole of clause 5, when a person gets a chance to speak. Please.
Honorable members, I'm going to allow all of you to speak, and then I'm going to make a ruling, and we'll continue from there. So, point of order, Honorable Van Staden, you raised the point of order.
I yield for Honorable Nyai saying, and I am agreeing with that. Remember, last week I also said, Chairperson, if a whole chapter is completed, I will give my input of the whole chapter, and there wasn't a problem with that. So I'm just asking, members who want to give an input of the whole chapter is being dealt with must be allowed to do so. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Honorable Kaba.
Yes, thanks, Chair. I think I was on platform. Chair, I think it is written as you led us to say it, this is clause by clause. In case a member had prepared on a particular subsection on a clause, when it is mentioned, he or she will raise a point. But for now, we are ready to proceed, Chair, and I think I've already made my inputs on the first clause, which I have prepared. I have even prepared for these others as well. But for now, this is where we are, Chair, and maybe we can proceed. I will not comment wherein I didn't prepare. And it means it is in agreement. So that has to be the procedure and the process. Thanks, Chair.
Chairperson, we'll be repeating the same thing. I think we are prepared for this meeting. And your approach is good to say that let's go clause by clause as this committee. So I think I will just pause there. If they are not prepared, they must just listen.
No, you must focus. We're
not disagreeing about being prepared.
We are disagreeing about subsection by subsection.
Honorable members, honorable members, Chirwa and Tembokwayo, I'm not going to allow interjections today. You can raise your hand or you can raise a point of order, and I will allow you. But when there are interjections, as from today, on this very important work, I'm going to deal with it differently. Can we please just be patient with one another? I've requested this many times.
Point of order, Chairperson.
What's your point of order, Honorable Chirwa?
Chairperson, I really want to urge us to not sabotage this meeting. We have to find a solution that works for everybody. If we're going to go about a process that isolates or alienates some members of this portfolio committee, you can't expect a meeting that's going to go in order. We have to have a way to all contribute to this portfolio committee meeting, because it's not a favor. It's our duty, it's our responsibility, and we're entitled to this process. So I really want to urge the chairperson to just not pledge political allegiance in this particular, because it's a very important discussion. And we are saying to the chairperson, we are raising it in a very orderly manner, that can we contribute in the way that we are firstly used to, or in a way that works as per our own personalized imagination of how this meeting is going to go about. This thing of clause by clause, subsection by subsection, clause by clause, yes, perfect. Let's do that. We can summarize, or there must be space for us to summarize each clause. But subsection by subsection, we are saying, we are literally raising the chairperson that it's going to be problematic for some of us because we have summaries of clauses. Does it mean that we should not participate in the meeting because we do not prepare subsection by subsection? No, we should still contribute and comment and discuss on each clause as members of this portfolio committee meeting. Let's not sabotage this meeting because it started properly. We had a few setbacks in the beginning, but let's continue and have an orderly meeting.
Thank you, Honorable Chirwa. Honorable Wilson.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to speak on the registration of users 5.1, please.
Thank you very much. Can I then just ask you to hold on for a short while, Honorable Wilson? I have the hand of the State Law Advisor.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Honorable Members.
Thank you.
There are two differing methodologies that are being proposed, but that can be harmonized, Chairperson. I think to accommodate everybody and everybody's input, especially substantive input, it wouldn't be problematic if the committee decides that an entire clause will be read and each member has the option whether or not to give their inputs as a whole, or to zone in on specific subsections and then make their proposals. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. Oh, I see more hands on the platform now. I think Honourable I think Honorable Chirwa, that must be a legacy hand. And then Honorable, yes, two have disappeared. Honorable Sukers.
Yes, Chair. I actually want to support what the legal advisor has proposed, because I think we have the legal team there that would be able then to facilitate and guide in terms of the inputs where it needs to be placed. In that way, everybody is accommodated. I don't think we need to get hung up on the methodology. We do have the expertise in the room that can assist with where things fall in place. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, honourable members, for your input. It is appreciated that we can disagree and then come to an agreement. My ruling will be that we will discuss the entire clause. You're free to do as you would want so that I don't stifle debate. That we, those members who want to speak on only one sub-clause are very welcome. Those who want to speak on the entire clause are also welcome. And we will then take it from there. In that regard, then, honorable members, I'm trying to remember the list. Let me just go through the list. So I had Honorable Kaba, who had completed a section. I had Honorable Clark next. I had Honorable Ismail, Honorable Chirwa. Any others on the Honorable Van Staden on the virtual platform? Honorable Gela, Honorable Siwela. Any other hands? Honorable Wilson. Any other hands? Thank you. In that order, we have completed up to Honorable Clark. Honorable Clark, no, you need to start. Thank you. Let's continue in that order. Thank you, honorable members.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. So Section 5.5 determines that in order to register as a user of the fund, a person is required to provide her or his biometric information, an identity card, original birth certificate, or refugee identity card issued from, in terms of the Refugee Act. However, it is common cause that not all persons that would ordinarily be eligible to use the fund would have birth certificates or identity documents. It is recommended that the bill make provision for those unable to produce birth certificates or identity documents to be provisionally admitted as users of the fund until they are able to produce such documents. Then just a clarity-seeking question around this matter as well is, how will the state ensure that this process is implemented, in particularly within rural areas where people really don't have accessibility? And I think that is cause for concern, and we would need to look at that. Then Section 5.8 determines that a user who seeks healthcare services purchased for his or her benefit by the fund from an accredited healthcare service provider or health establishment must present proof of registration to the healthcare service provider or health establishment when seeking those healthcare services. It may be argued that it unnecessarily is erroneous on the user of the fund to provide the healthcare service provider with proof of his registration, and it should be the task of such establishments to keep a proper record of registered users. Then, I would also, you know, just in terms of registering the particular funders, I mean, what process would be followed in order to make sure that when those funders are registered, that that in a transparent way the process follows through? And then if you're not registered as a healthcare service if you're not registered with a healthcare service provider and you are in need of medical care, what would happen then? Would you be turned away, or would there be a process in order to assist community members in that retrospect? And currently, the health system is premised on an all-encompassing referral system from the community health workers, who from part of the primary health system right through to tertiary hospitals. The bill seeks to change this by having tertiary hospitals under the management of the national department. And this would lead to a complete breakdown in the system, and ordinary South Africans will not be able to hold provincial departments to account for poor outcomes. You know, and because of this, fragmenting to the health system will bring normal functioning systems to a grinding halt and take power away from the people closest to them. Thank you, Chair.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, colleagues. Chair, on clause 5, registration as users. The NHI bill stipulates that users of the NHI services must register with an accredited provider. If registration is limited to a particular accredited provider, what are the implications for people who move or become ill or on holiday? Clause 5, section 1G, does not explicitly mention all levels of care that must be funded, for example, you know, vocational and physio-social rehabilitation. Clarity is needed on this point. And, you know, when you're looking at the requirement to provide proof of residence, will exclude vulnerable persons and deny them access to health services. So the recommendation would be that clause 5 must be expanded to allow for the registration of the user who is on vacation or not within the particular geographical area that they have registered in. A clause should be added on how this will actually be managed. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Chirwa.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think my concern here, it's being raised as well, right? Now, over and above with the worry of the NHI in totality, I think there should be an accommodation for persons who do not have these required issues of documentation, because this then probes exclusionary sentiments for people who don't have house addresses, who don't have identity documents, proof of residence, and all those things. And second to that, the issue of documentation in South Africa is not one that's isolated just to immigrants and foreigners and or refugees and asylum seekers and stuff like that. There is also an issue of undocumented South Africans in the country. And there was a study that was done by the UNHCR a while back on the issue of undocumented South Africans. Now, there should be a proper intervention for this particular thing, because then it's state organs that fail people in terms of reaching them in their point of need. And then over and above that, you find clauses like this that exclude people. So this issue of documentation should be looked at in with much more scrutiny, because we can't have people not being part of a health system because they're not documented, both South Africans and immigrants as well. There should be a clause that caters and ensures that there isn't people who are excluded from accessing healthcare because they don't have the requirements of being registered in an NHI registry. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Van Staden.
Oh, thank you, Chair. I wasn't sure if I'm next. now, Chairperson, I think in practice, Section 5 of this bill is proved to be problematic, as the patient will not be able to see the specialist or doctor of his or her choice before a patient is registered at the NHI accredited primary healthcare facility, and the facility refers the patient to a specialist or a doctor. Now, it's my view that this bill clearly contravenes Section 27 of the Constitution, which expressly states that everyone has a right to have access to a health care servicing, including reproductive health care, and no one may be refused emergency medical treatment. Now, why I'm saying this, and this is what is worrying me, on the 29th of August, Minister McKenzie was unable to provide any clear answers when I were putting a question in this committee regarding this bill, particularly with regard to how the registration process of members on our NHI will work and how this database will function at the current state hospitals and how long it will take these institutions to implement the electronic patient database at state hospitals. We know the problem we have with our state facilities of maladministration and mismanagement and so forth. And we have seen when we're on our visits to some of these clinics, the database files, which was a big problem and a big mess. And we have also received reports that the Auditor General brought to this committee many times about the database problems at hospitals and so forth. So that is my worries and my concerns about Clause 5, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Well, your next honourable comment. It was Suella and then Kayla and then Comrade Honourable Kaba. I'm putting you after Wilson. Okay. Thank you. Suella?
Thank you, Chairperson, and greetings to everyone in the room. Well, Chair, I want to restrict myself to Clause 5.3, and state that the African National Congress support this clause for the following reasons. As we all know, there are children and young adults who currently do not have identity documents with the Department of Home Affairs. This may be as a result of children being orphans or having been born at home or in settings where they are not able to obtain identity document. And lastly, Chair, this may also be as a result of some having lost their ID documents, or also there are also category of children who have lost their identity documents as well. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Greetings to the meeting. Chairperson, before I start my submission to the bill, I want to support Honorable Kaba and also Honorable Suella in their inputs to the bill. Coming to the issue that I want to talk about, it's 5.2, Chairperson, same page 8, on clause 5.2a. As ANC, we support this clause for the following reasons. A child, including children of asylum seekers and illegally foreigners, will be registered automatically at birth and presenting to an accredited service provider. I don't know whether you are listening, Chair, or must I pause? Can I start, Chair?
Yes, thank you. Sorry, I had to take some advice on the side
here. All right. Okay, it's very important so that at least you note my input, my contribution. I was saying, Chair, I'm seconding Honorable Suella and also Honorable Kaba in their submission to the bill. And also coming to the point that I want to raise on my submission to the NHI bill 5.2a. As ANC, we support this clause for the following reasons. A child, including children of asylum seekers and illegally foreigners, will be registered automatically at birth and presenting to an accredited service provider. should be for the purpose of allocating a user to a provider who is accredited. That will be my submission on clause 5.2a. And we support Chairperson as ANC. Thank you, Chair.
Oh, was it not me?
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the opportunity to give the inputs. So I have very specific issues around this this clause, and particularly the word accredited. So public hospitals to date have not been regulated by any independent agencies or structures. They are instead directly administered by the provincial governments. And as we know, a recent addition to the governance framework for public hospitals has been the Office of the Health Standards Compliance, the OHSC, whose sole purpose is for the implementation of a system of quality assurance standards applicable to both the public and ultimately private sectors. Now, the private sectors is regulated by administrations. There are regulation structures there that they have to meet, and yet this does not appear to apply in the public sector. And although the OHSC identifies itself as an independent and impartial, the entire leadership is an actual fact import, appointed by the National Minister of Health and actually reports to him. So we have had meetings already with the OHSC. We have seen statistics. We have seen figures that they've given to us. And I don't even think a tenth of hospitals or health facilities will meet the accredited requirements. They will not meet the accredited requirements. Now, this clause strictly states that a person eligible for NHI must, and I always say very, very carefully, always watch the word must, because when you say must, it is a non-negotiable, register as a user with a fund at an accredited healthcare service provider or health establishment. They must be accredited. When you come from a rural area like I do, where clinics and hospitals are very, very far apart from each other, hard to be found, and most certainly would not meet any of the required health standards inside of this bill, what in that clause do we make an addition to? Because if they cannot, and nothing in their area allows them to be accredited, go to an accredited health center, where else are they supposed to be registered? Are we saying there that they will then be denied care because in real, physical, realistic terms, they cannot get to an accredited healthcare provider? That's my problem number one. A person contemplated in subsection 1 must register his or her child as a user, again, with the accredited healthcare service provider or health establishment. And then it goes on there to say, and that's 2B, a child born to a user must be regarded as having been registered automatically at birth. This is supposed to happen in these accredited healthcare. In fact, it's supposed to happen in all public hospitals where children, where there are maternal wards. It does not happen. In fact, you are bloody lucky if you find anybody from Home Affairs in those hospitals ever. I know I'm there all the time. I've done oversight these last couple of days. We cannot assume, or we cannot be, say, straightforward, the child has been registered because it was born in a hospital. That doesn't, it can't apply. We need to look at how that can be reworded, Chair. Point 3, a person between 12 and 18 years of age may apply for registration as a user if she or he is not registered in terms of the clauses above. And if you go down to 5A, B, and C, but they must have an identity card, an original birth certificate, and a refugee identity card. It doesn't say anything there about asylum seekers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Again, you can't deny a 12-year-old medical access or medical care if he cannot register because he hasn't got those documents. And those documents, and we know Home Affairs has been in the news for months on end about what a disaster it is. What I'm trying to say, Chair, is we need to look at the wording of these clauses, because the wording says one thing and it contradicts itself in another. And I'm always very, very of the word must. A must is a non-negotiable. If you must do that, it's a non-negotiable. And there are your words of the must being used in here that could create a situation that should this matter go to court or a matter go to court, it's going to be found on the wrong side of the constitutional, of the Bill of Rights. Twice the Children's Act is mentioned in here, and the state law, the legal advisors here can possibly assist me. If no adult has been designated in terms of 137(2) of the Children's Act, any employee of the accredited health service provided, and again accredited, must assist the child to be so registered. And you can help me. Does this mean that we have to look at amendments in the Children's Act to make provision for the NHI? I think we need to know that, because in last week's discussion, the discussion was very in-depth about, and it states clearly that the NHI bill cannot be implemented until all the other health acts that this bill affects are changed, okay? If it's going to affect the Children's Act, we need to get advisement on that, please, because that's obviously something else we have to look into. And the final concern I have is that the minister, in consultation with the Minister of Home Affairs, may prescribe any further requirements for registration of foreign nationals as contemplated in 4.1.E. Again, I have a problem with that. I would like to see an addition that he may prescribe further requirements with the agreement of Parliament or at least the Portfolio Committee. Those are my additions to that clause. Thank you.
Thank you,
Chairperson.
I think it's my chance now. My turn now. Chair, I just would like to know when is it my turn to speak? No, yes. I'm asking the chairperson to give us the line to say who is coming and who is not. It's not to say I'm interrupting what you are saying.
Honorable Dr. Kwayo, I have a list. I will put you after Honorable Kaba before I then also give my input. Then Honorable Munyai before me, too, after you, Honorable Dr. Temukwayo. Honorable Kaba,
thank you, chairperson.
Temukwayo, Honorable Munyai. And anyone else who wants to speak before I do?
Yeah, yes. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, Chief.
Chair, I think we just need to remind ourselves as members of the Portfolio Committee. I think in the opening remarks, we said definitions will be attended to as we go along. I could realize other members having a problem with accreditation, and those were earlier definitions which we had indicated. Should you want us to clarify what does it mean, accreditation? We have support team here and wherein we could go to definitions. So it shouldn't be something that bogus as well here. Chair, in support of Honorable Gela and Suella upon what they've raised, our matters relates to issues of registration and as Elia said that the basis of being, especially on the 5.1 clause, the basis for being registered with NHI fund must be linked with the population register as maintained by the Department of Home Affairs. These are relevant institutions conducting all matters of registration. So members, as they are raising here, as we will follow those procedures and guidelines, that will assist. There is no law out of what is stated here is being changed we are quoting laws in earlier in implementing the NHI. The other thing, Chair, which I also want to indicate here, is that on clause on 5.4, the ANC support the use of employees of accredited health establishments assisting children to register. This will ensure that there is no child left behind or disadvantaged. There is accommodation even of children. That is why as ANC we are supporting that. But earlier, Chair, there was a point raised again on clause 5, especially on point 8, on the user thinking of healthcare services purchased for his or her benefit by the fund from an accredited healthcare service provider or health establishment must present proof of registration to that healthcare service provider or health establishment when seeking those healthcare services. As earlier point raised, the ANC on clause 5, subsection 8, we support this clause, Chair, because the user must be identifiable to the accredited healthcare provider. I've already mentioned that the matter of definitions and accreditations and terms, we could be assisted. We have mentioned, Chair, we'll deal with that as we proceed. The user must be identifiable to the accredited healthcare provider through producing necessary means of identifications, as outlined in the preceding clauses. Lastly, Chair, and the users must access services from accredited and contracted service providers. So this is necessary so that our system has a proper control of registration, and you are able to also can indicate that you be identified. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Dr. Temukwaya.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me just start by saying, clause 5. The problem that I'm supposed to receive here. Can you hear me?
We can hear you now. Continue.
Can you hear me now?
We can hear you now. Please continue.
Yes, I was just saying the problem. Yes, I'm continuing. I was commenting on a person who is eligible, the term eligibility, as it is expressed here, to say, Chairperson, can you hear me, but
we can hear you. Continue, not as clearly, but we can. We at least, I'll tell you when we cannot hear you. Honorable Dr. Temukwaya, we can hear you.
Yes, I was just saying, I'm commenting on eligibility of those that are supposed to receive care services, as it is outlined under the registration as users. To say we have families, if they say a child born to a user, we have cases of children that are born of the users that do not have a home nor an ID, which obviously means even their children don't have birth certificates. And it obviously means that even if we can have a supervising adult who can register them, nor an accredited healthcare service provider, they can't be able to do this because they don't have the IDs nor the birth certificate. So there is no, this must obviously means that there is no simplified manner or any other way that accommodates such scenarios of those that do not have birth certificates and those that do not have IDs. And I'm talking about the inquiries of the parents nowadays that do not have both.
So the what were the place of residence, the paper that is supposed to be included there or won't be produced by the parents nor those children. And about 5-6, where they say the minister, with consultation with the Minister of National Home Affairs, we said we don't have to give the powers only to the minister, but it should be the National Health Council, which includes the minister, in consultation with the National Home Affairs Council, which includes the minister as well, so that it's not only the powers that are vested on the ministers only. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Munyai.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. As the issue pertaining to the definition, I made a concrete substantive recommendation, and I emailed those recommendations as per your request to the Secretary. If she did not receive them, I'm going to resend again to your attention and her attention again. Let me start with my contribution pertaining to the work of today, Honorable Chairperson. I stand by the view submission of Honorable Taba, Honorable Gela, Honorable Sewela. I stand by that as a first point of departure. With regard to the clause 5-6, the ANC, the African National Congress, rise to support this clause and recognize the joint responsibility of the two ministers. We recognize the legislative responsibility placed on the Minister of Home Affairs on what is pertaining to the population registration and the stewardship role on the methods to be used to identify foreign nationals. The Minister of Health has the legislative responsibility of providing a stewardship role of how healthcare services are to be accessed and provided. So that is my submission, Honorable Chairperson, so far as this clause. Thank you very much.
Honorable Hubbard.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, everyone. I just add some inputs for Clause 5. Clause 5.4b, ANC supports the use of the employees of accredited health establishments assisting children to register. This will ensure that no child is left behind or disadvantaged. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Van Staden.
Thank you for the opportunity. Just briefly, I just want to concur with Member Wilson. I have a worry about the using of the word accreditation. You remember last week I said in Parliament it's easier to put a little word or phrase into a law, but when it comes to the execution thereof, it's a bit problematic. I think the word accreditation at this stage is for me a bit problematic. What is accreditation? If you go look at the definition thereof, it says it means official recognition or something that meets official standards, or it's the external recognition of a set of standards to perform an activity or to alter a certain status. Why I'm saying that, I don't think that if we put in a wording or a word like this into the law that will be executed at the end of the day. I concur with Member Wilson, there must be a lot of other laws be changed just to accommodate the word accreditation. It's my view at this stage that our public health facilities is not accredited according to the right standards, and when they don't have the right standards at this stage to perform these sort of duties. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honourable members, those hands are second round, so allow me to finish. I have noted you, the hands which had went up subsequently, and I'm giving every member an opportunity to make the initial inputs, including myself. So I have not had an opportunity, and then I also want to then give, there's a request from my left, from the legal advisor to Parliament, after I had given my input, then I will take that input. And before I take that input, I need to also correct something. So, honourable members, clause 5, sub clause 5 speaks about the biometrics. I think it is very important that we agree to support this as a form of identification of the users of healthcare in the future, and also to ensure that we know who the people are who are entitled to benefits. And it's also important for Home Affairs to know who we have on the registration. You know, the world is going where we will eventually be relying on biometrics in order to be able to identify a person. So we might as well include this right from the onset. So I agree, and as the ANC, we support clause 5, subclause 5 in its totality, for those reasons of verifying the bona fides of the user, being able to allow people to access benefits, and to ensure that those who are not entitled to benefits won't be able to access those if they had not complied with what is required for them to do. And then lastly, for Home Affairs also to be able to have an understanding of who is in our country. And it assists them to build their own register also as we go forward. So together, we'll be doing both of those as Health and as Home Affairs. Then before I allow the legal advisor to Parliament, I had omitted to introduce the members from the NDOH. And DG, it's only when I looked closely, I didn't see you behind your mask. My apology. I looked and I looked again. And then I asked somebody, is that the DG sitting there? So we're very welcome to the meeting, but late. But thank you very much for attending. And then Dr. Tulare next to you, Advocate Moabelo, Mr. Moreman Kosi, the technical advisor, Ms. Lungiswa Baloyi, and Ms. Peace Mchiza, DJ Speed PA, and then our regular attendee, I almost said Honorable Joe Hatla. By now we should be calling. So, Mr. Joe Hatla, PLO to the minister. Thank you very much, all of you. Better late than never. I hope somebody will offer me a coffee to show that I am excused for not raising that earlier. Ms. Isaacs, it's yours.
Thank you, Chairperson, for this opportunity. I would just like to draw the members' attention to two issues. In clause 5.1, it says a person who is eligible to receive healthcare services must register with the fund with an accredited healthcare service provider. The clause provides for children who are a vulnerable group, but we also need to consider other vulnerable groups, such as those who are mentally impaired, physically impaired, and those who are aged, who may not be able to go and register with the fund. So we don't want to lose that out of this clause to create a provision for them. And the other issue that I would like to draw the members' attention to is clause 5.8, which requires proof of registration to access healthcare services. I would like to point out that if there's a medical emergency and the person has not registered, that will create an issue where they may not have proof of registration and they will not be able to be denied healthcare services. So those are the two issues I would like to draw the members' attention to for consideration. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for that input. Honourable members, yes, I do note. Allow me
to... My hand was up.
Yes, okay. Give me an opportunity to... I've started drawing another list, honorable members. Give me a chance to do what I do best. So, I started drawing a list, and the list is as follows. From what I see inside the venue and from what I heard on the platform, it's Honorables Clark, Wilson Kaba, and Dr. Tembakwayo. And then Ismail. Honorable members, at some stage we're going to have to draw to a close. So this is the last round. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think it's also really necessary for us to understand what constitutes an accredited health care service provider. You know, what constitutes that? So it's clear to us. And then secondly, Chair, I would also just like to mention from my own personal experiences going to do oversight at hospitals. And Member Wilson mentioned that. And I think it's something that we're going to have to add into this bill, that hospitals must have a home affairs desk in order to assist with registration. And that is not the case at the moment at many hospitals. And even when you visit schools, it's a huge problem that children are not being documented. It's a huge problem. And principals always say to us, you know, a Home Affairs should come and visit our schools when they do mobile clinics at the schools and make sure that kids that have not got documentation are registered. So I think, you know, and to make ease of providing what we want to provide as a healthcare service, that should be a stipulation, Chairperson, that kind of service is readily available at hospitals in order to do so. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. And I meant to raise this in the first round and it got lost in my notes here. Just something else I'd like to raise. And thank you to the legal advisor, because I think the two points that you raised are very, very important. And we must remember that we provide service for everybody, whether they be mental, disabled, challenged, or regardless. So thank you for raising that. It was a very good point. But I'm going to go back to my accreditation, because there is a misunderstanding, and we saw this in the public hearings, Chair, when we did the public hearings in the various provinces. People were coming to support the NHI, and then you would listen to what they said, and it always came with a but, or I'm pleased. Now, my understanding, and perhaps the legal advisors can prove me wrong, but my understanding of the NHI bill in terms of private health sectors is that they may register for the NHI and may offer certain services. They may not offer the whole range of NHI benefits, but depending on their availability, their staffing, their accommodation, what their facilities, they may opt to register as an NHI provider for certain facilities, maybe not all, but they will opt in and may do so. And this is what is worth, where the accreditation now becomes very, very important, okay? Because there is a public perception that the moment the NHI bill is passed, people can go to any jolly hospital they like, private, public, or otherwise. That is not the case. It is not the case, and we must be wary of this. If a private health facility has not registered with the NHI, you may not go there if you are looking for NHI unless you're willing to pay for it, if you are looking for free NHI benefits. And I really think, and we can, you know, we will obviously submit our recommended changes and the wordings for this, but it's a very, very relevant point. A private hospital might be accredited with NHI, but only for delivering babies, maternal care, or maybe only this specific sector of the NHI or this specific service. Because they have an accreditation, it does not mean that anybody who feels like it can walk into that hospital and expect to be serviced. Thank you.
Honorable Kaba?
No, thanks, Chair. Perhaps, as having mentioned, I think, Chair, it must be clear that having accredited institutions, it's very important. And this, I will all take us to page 5 in terms of the definition on number 1, what is accredited means, so that we don't just debate around in the circle. We have already said that on the definitions, there is what is accredited. And Chair, you have earlier indicated that for the other registrations, especially on clause 5.5, that the ANC support the use of biometric identification methods for purpose of verifying the bona fides of the user. And this is important in mitigating fraudulent access to benefits by those that are not entitled to benefit. This may include the emergencies which the legal advisor was mentioning to us for those who may not have, but there is provision of which the ANC supports this, as we have mentioned it. And Chair, it is very important I stress the fact that the user must be identifiable to the accredited healthcare provider through producing necessary means of identifications as outlined in the presiding clause. And users must access services from accredited and contracted services providers. So we may not be on argument in understanding how we could be authentic and be of proper registered here. If there is a problem in terms of practice, we may propose, like Honorable Mnyai earlier have said, the definitions he had already sent. If there is another definition, any other member would like to raise that is different from what is raised here on the bill, do it. But for now, having accredited institutions, that's very important. Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted to say that like all the other parties who are reiterating their positions on this NHI bill, to put it under record that we said as the economic freedom fighters in South Africa that we do not support this NHI bill in its entirety. The same applies to the clause 5, as we have mentioned it there, because I think it's a trend that is being recognized in this meeting. And secondly, I would like the legal advisor, please, to repeat what she said. I couldn't understand her clearly. What she said pertaining to the medical emergency with reference to those that are not registered in the fund because of the fact that they don't have any proof of residence and they don't have the IDs nor the birth certificates. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Klengwa.
Can I come up with an issue?
And then Honorable Gela, Honorable Munya. Honorable Ismail, was your hand up? So after Honorable Klengwa's Honorable Ismail, followed by Honorable Gela, followed by Honorable Munya.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me greet all the honorable members and the department. In terms of the registration as users, the word is familiar. From KZN. From KZN, we started in 2018 in IDL's clinic where we register for preparing for this NHI. I'm happy that I said Dr. Lomo there, Deputy Minister, he will say that is implemented in KZN. Coming to Home Affairs in hospital, there are desk of the home affairs in the hospital. When you give a birth, you came up with a birth certificate in hospital. I don't know what's happening in the private, but I'm talking about the public hospital. There is a home affairs desk. When we come to registration of children and those who are home-headed, yes, they have that assistance. Even the one who have get birth at home, those mothers take them to the clinic and the clinic assist to get this thing. Therefore, I fully, as an IFP, support this bill because it is tangible, it is legible. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable members, just to remind us, we also have a tea time. I'm now trying to figure out when we actually have that tea time now. We can, honorable members, please be reminded that you are aware that I do have a bit of a hearing challenge with my left ear. So if I only pick you up on one side, I hear nothing on the other side. So please, let me chair my meeting.
Sorry, that's selective hearing.
That's called selective hearing. just for yourself, Honorable Wilson. So I don't want to hear, say, but you're on my wrong side, even though they're on the side. But we have a number of, I have a long list here still. And I'm reminded there's also a tea time and we're going to lose that tea time. So let me just show you my list is still 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Let's rather have the tea time. It is 11 o'clock. We take off from there. We start with Honorable, what did I say is next? Honorable Gela. Then I said Munyai. And I see Honorable Sukersand is also on the platform. And Honorable Ismail. So it's a long list. Let's rather have the tea time. We'll be back at 4:15. Thank you very much.
Sorry, we don't have sound, Chair.
Yes, thumbs up. Please continue.
Thank you, Chair. I was saying, Chairperson, indeed we have a good story to tell as African National Congress, because what Honorable Hlengwa was saying, it's happening in our public hospital. When you visit MOU, After childbirth, you get a birth certificate immediately. When you go home with your nice baby, healthy baby, and also a birth certificate. After that, you can also go and register for a grant so same that day. At least same day. So this is a really a good story to tell. So I'm very happy when Mahlengwa is saying that that also they see what the government is doing under African National Congress, which it's good, Mahlengwa, to say that. But coming to the issue that I also want to raise, Chairperson, I fully support the implementation of the NHI bill in our country, because I know what it's going to do. It's going to change. Of course, I understand people who are covered, they don't care about what other people who are suffering, whether they will benefit or not. Hence, they are not supporting the NHI bill because they don't care about the people of South Africa who are still suffering, who are poor. But I fully support the NHI bill, Chair. This is the good move that our government is doing in terms of making sure that we have access in health facility equally. Because even now, I'm paying medical aid, but I don't know who's my broker, you know? And you know, Chair, so it's something that I think we are trying to address. So this bill, I think it's a good move. And people have spoken, who have listened to them during the public hearing, Chairperson. You were part of the public hearing. They were saying, you know, you keep on discussing this bill. We want this bill to be implemented as soon as yesterday. We thought when you are coming to us, you will tell us tomorrow you are starting, because we are ready to make sure that we have access in this bill because of the conditions that they see themselves into. But the other thing that I want to add, Chairperson, to emphasize on, it's on the access to emergency medical services. Please emphasize that in the preamble, the bill bears in mind the provisions of Section 27 of the Bill of Rights on no one being refused access to emergency medical services. It is therefore implied that NHI will not and cannot undermine Section 27 of the Constitution. The other point, Chairperson, that I want to make on people not located in the place of residence, relocating or failing sick whilst on holiday, the preamble assures us that the NHI will ensure continuity and portability of financing and services throughout the country. Clause 7.2b and clause 7.3 also addresses this matter. There are many other clauses in the bill that make references to this. So I will just pause there, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Gela. Honorable, let me make sure, Munyai, Ismail, then Munyai, then Supers.
Thank you, Chair. I just have a few things to say. On the matter of Home Affairs being at hospitals and, you know, we're getting a service on the ground and immediate service delivery, I've had to assist, it was just in 2 months ago, I had to assist a mother to actually apply for the birth certificate for her three-month-old baby, since just because the hospital at hand couldn't register a child. So I think the important factor that we're discussing here today is that going forward, what we want to do, but currently the system is obviously not working. Okay. So the fact that a teenage mother not having an ID and then having to apply for a birth certificate for a baby, and it's not happening on the ground, and it's not only one issue, it's a matter of this happening at various hospitals. So the issue at hand is that Home Affairs is a problem. The Home Affairs Department is not providing the efficient service delivery that we actually require. And this matter has to be addressed, and it has to be included in this bill, because the reality is that so many people will be sitting without medical health care due to the inconsistent service delivery at ground root level of a sister department. That's one. Two is, I want to put it on record, I've attended quite a few public hearings. And in most of these public hearings, everybody was looking forward to NHI because they looked at NHI as a universal healthcare system. And let me put it on record. The Democratic Alliance totally agrees and supports universal healthcare to the country. However, everyone in this public submission stated, we have major issues with our current healthcare service delivery on the ground. And that we've had people complaining we can't even get to the hospital or to the clinic, never mind anything else. When we go to the clinic, there are no medication. There is no doctors to help us. There is no doctors to actually assist us in, you know, attending to our health healthcare need. So ultimately, we're actually saying that we may have accredited hospitals or clinics, but under the NHI, we want specification of what accredited means. Because I was just saying to a colleague now, there's a specification of the meaning of the word accredited in the dictionary. But under the NHI, we need specifics so that coming or going down the line, we don't have anybody sitting without a healthcare services because now it does not provide for you under the bill. But anyway, what I wanted to actually bring up here was that the NHI bill must clearly specify the factors that the Benefits Advisory Committee and the fund will consider when determining which medicine should be included in the benefits package. This is very important because if the medicine is not available under that, you know, package, users of the NHI fund will then have to seek additional medical funding support from other, you know, from another source. And how are they going to be managing that? Another point that I want to highlight is that, you know, medicines are not specified. We need medicines specified. And, you know, We need, when it comes to referral pathways or when it comes to a patient going to a specific doctor and then you want to go to another doctor now, and you know that specific time for that referral pathway may actually, and I think in one of the submissions, I just can't remember which you know which entity actually brought this up to us, but it stuck in my brain that if it takes too long for the referral pathway letter to be given or allowed, that particular patient could lose a, you know, a limb or a hand and it could be actually fatal where a life could be lost. So we need this actually specified in the NHI bill of how these things are going to be addressed so that we don't actually have a detriment of non-service delivery in totality rather than having effective, you know, universal health care to all. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Munyai, followed by Honourable Sukers.
Esteemed Honourable Chair, I'm not going to focus on the debate. I'll do debate in the Parliament. Today, my Parliament task is to focus on clause by clause. Clause 5, 4A, the ANC rise in support of this clause fully. The basis for that, Honourable Chair, is that many of our children come from the child-headed household and require the support and assistance of supervision adults for their welfare. The supervision adults is tasked with the responsibility to register the children to fully benefit from the national health insurance. On accreditation, Honourable Chair, Clause 39.2 describes the accreditation and the meaning, therefore. The description is very clear, and the portfolio committee should consider this matter when we get there. For now, you have clarified us that we're at clause 5 and we're dealing with those details. I suggest on behalf of the ANC that we would like to have a developmental approach to the public health facilities, and we will make more substantive inputs on proposal when clause 39 is being debated. I'm sorry, clause 39 to be precise. So therefore, Honourable Chair, I would request, it's my plea, that please, the legal mind must not take us back when we pronounce ourselves on specific input as Honourable Member. Please, because the legal advisors should not behave such as Honourable Members. That's my plea. They can advise, but they should not take us back where Honourable Members has pronounced of themselves on the clauses. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. It's my plea. Thank you.
Honourable Sukers.
Yes, Chair. Thank you. Chair, I just want to ask two things. Currently in two committees, for instance, in the Social Development Committee, the Children's Amendment Bill is being concluded, and the committee has decided to deal just with the foster care clauses in order to meet the court deadline. But I'm bringing it up because I just want to know whether we are tagging the issues that are in the children's within the Children's Amendment Bill currently with what is we're dealing with in this bill, where it relates specifically to children. And I want to add to what Honourable Asina said, and we need to face the reality of it. It's all good and well to do the politics of the story. Laws work on the ground where people live. So we need to look as lawmakers on how would the law look like in practice. And currently, there are at least 500,000 children in South Africa without a birth certificate. 80% of them are South African citizens. The NHI bill needs a provision to enable these children to register as users while they wait on Home Affairs, which can take many years. So the NHI should look at what, for instance, SASSA is doing. They generate a unique SASSA number for kids so that they can access a grant. They have, at the moment, 35,000 kids on grants using the system. So the NHI should have a provision that allows registration using alternative proof of identity. Alternative proof of identity if there is no ID or birth certificate available. I also want to bring to the attention of the committee in terms of undocumented children. There are social circumstances that makes it very difficult for children to be just registered, especially vulnerable children. And so when we look at the bill, the law advisor, that the legal advisor that's with us can give us guidance, for instance, with those kind of issues that are very important. If a child needs to access medical treatment, for instance, and the child is undocumented, it poses a real problem, especially if you look at the number of children that are undocumented. I just want to bring that up, Chair, because the registration of children, the issue of parental rights, I just want to raise it while we're dealing with the registration of children. So can we look at making a provision for children that are undocumented, and we have 500,000 of them, of which 80% of them are South African citizens? Thank you.
Honorable members, thank you, Honorable Sukers. I saw on the platform the hand of Honorable Chirwa, Honorable Kaba, you haven't had a second chance, but honorable members, we would have to end at some stage. We cannot continue in a circle. So I'm going to do the following. I'm going to allow Honorable Chirwa, who has not had an opportunity, second bite. Then Honorable Kaba with a second bite. And then I'm going to, is there anyone on my left who you still want to respond? No. Yes? Yes, that's all. Then, yes. So, honorable members, so that we can move forward, that's now the final say. Honorable Chirwa?
Thank you, Chair. I was actually seeking clarity because I'm not sure if I missed the first part when we didn't have sound. Are we still on the issue of clauses? And if we so, have, which clause are we on? Are we still on 5 or 6 or 7 now?
We are on clause 5, Honorable Chirwa. We are about to conclude on clause 5.
Yeah, I'm asking this because I see people are mentioning other clauses as we go, even if it doesn't relate. So that's why I had a confusion, because I also lost out on sound before earlier. If we're on clause 5, it's fine. I'll wait for clause 6. I've done my deliberations for clause 5.
Thank you very much. Honorable Kaba?
Chair, I think we are in agreement. We propose that we move forward. We have raised the matter on 5.4 that this will ensure that no child is left behind or disadvantaged. So if you go to clause 5.4, that is attended. So, Chair, can we move forward? Thank you.
From myself, there's one clause I think that we have not been able to address. It's clause 5, subclause 7, which speaks about unaccredited health establishments. So this one is very straightforward, and it does make sense even in today's practice. If you want to attend any facility, whether that's a private surgery or a medical facility in the public space or in the private sector space, then you will surely go to a facility where you know that facility is registered in terms of being able to provide services. The second thing is that those medical personnel who would be providing the services would, of course, also be registered with the relevant professional body. In the case of a doctor, the Health Professions Council of South Africa. It doesn't just stands to reason that those healthcare service providers would then be obliged to maintain a register in order for them to show good practice, firstly, secondly, for themselves as a referral as to their practice, and thirdly, also for the fund and their professional body to be able to assess what the services are which are being provided. So as the ANC, we want to state that we support clause 5, subclause 7, for those reasons. And then I think that's the last that I wanted to comment. We shall now, honorable members, and it also says that there would be particular details which would be prescribed. So there would be a minimum set of details which everyone would be required to maintain as a healthcare provider, being at the GP, being at a healthcare facility, etc. I think we've come to the end of this clause now. There's only one clarification that that is going to be given by the legal advisor to Parliament, and then I'm going to close the section, honorable members, and I'm going to close six. If we look at the time now, we have just under an hour to continue with clause six. So let us do that. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think before the break, Dr. Tim McGuire asked for clarity on what I had said about medical emergencies. And I was referring to clause 5.8, which says that a user must provide proof of registration if they want to access healthcare services. And I was just pointing out there may be instances where there is a medical emergency and the person is unregistered or unable to provide proof at that stage. So we just need to consider that point. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, we have to move forward.
Chair, just before you close, on the unregistered people, the health patient registration system registers undocumented people already. So the system exists to register undocumented persons. So we must refer ourselves to the health registration system. It does register those people. Thanks.
Thank you, honorable members. I'm going to start reading clause six. We will next week be receiving input on any policy inputs from the department on this clause five and from the legal people next week as we proceed. Oh, yes, I forgot. You still want to speak? Honourable members, I'd omitted from giving Mr. Achilles an opportunity.
Thank you, Chair and honourable members. I think we are covered in respect of the coverage, in respect of the services to be provided for different categories. I think the honourable member Muniai have pointed that out. And with regard to Chair, I just want to point out with accredited services, it is defined, and there's a reference to Section 39 of the Clause 39 of the Bill, which provides for the process for accreditation. And that is a very detailed process. It's a comprehensive process for healthcare service providers to comply with. There are statutory obligations. There are contractual obligations. And there's also provision for renewal refusal of such accreditation. And those are detailed in the bill and will be further detailed in the regulations. But the empowering provisions covering those, the process for accreditation or the legal framework for that, it's dealt with in terms of clause 39 of the bill. With regard to all the categories of coverage, the issue regarding refugees, asylum seekers, and foreigners, those are all dealt with within the scope of Clause 4. Firstly, Chair, in terms of the Immigration Act, and foreigner is defined, it's somebody who's not a citizen. An illegal foreigner is somebody who's here in contravention of the Immigration Act. So those categories of persons, as identified in Clause 4, are clearly covered in terms of our existing legislative framework. With regard to children, all children will be covered. All children. So nobody will be excluded if you're a child under the age of 18 years old. You will be able to have access to all the medical services that are required. And we have basic services that would be required in where needed. In respect of, I think we are covered with regard to emergency medical services. that's a constitutional imperative, and that's also dealt with in terms of the bill. I just also want to add, Chair, with regard to regulations, I think we have a specific provision in Clause 55. It's Clause 55.4, which provides that regulations must be tabled in the National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces for a period of 1 month before being finalized. So the legislature will be able to consider any draft legislation before being finalized as well. And some of the members, I can't remember which member now, but did refer to that Parliament should also consider those. So that is already catered for in Clause 55.4, Chair. That's just the points that I just wanted to raise for the committee's benefit. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, that concludes our discussion on Clause 5. Honourable Clerk, I'm just shaking my head.
You start so bad, you sounded like my children to me.
Yes, because...
Just on what was said, I just wanted clarity when we talk about emergency services that are going to be supplied. I mean, what are they? Is it the standard PMB cases that you would get in the medical fraternity that you have to be seen to immediately if it's a PMB case? I just wanted clarity on that. Thank you.
Thank you. That clarity you will get next week, Honourable Clerk. So let us continue. I'm going to read Clause 6, Honourable Members. It's titled Chair, Rights of Users.
Chair, I've raised my hand.
But Honourable Sukers, I have concluded on Clause 5.
Yes.
I'm going to move forward. I'm sure you would find a way to bring it back into Clause 6.
Yes.
So can I continue and you raise later? Thank you. Rights of users. Clause 6. Without derogating from any other right or entitlement granted under this Act or under any other law, a user of healthcare services purchased by the fund is entitled within the state's available and appropriate resources. I'm now not going to mention all of the subclauses. I'll just start reading them because I see quite a number of them here. To receive necessary quality healthcare services free at the point of care from an accredited healthcare provider or health establishment upon proof of registration with the fund. To information relating to the fund and healthcare service benefits available to users. To access any information or records relating to his or her health kept by the fund, as provided for in the Promotion of Access to Information Act, in order to exercise or protect his or her rights. Not to be refused access to healthcare services on unreasonable grounds. Not to be unfairly discriminated against as provided for in the Constitution and the Promotion of Equality and Prevention of Unfair Discrimination Act 2000, which is Act Number 4 of 2000. To access healthcare services within a reasonable time period, to be treated with a professional standard of care, to make reasonable decisions about his or her health care, to submit a complaint in accordance with Section 42 regarding poor access to or quality of health care services or fraud and other abuses by a health care service provider, a health establishment, a supplier, or the fund. To request written reasons for decisions of the fund, to lodge an appeal against a decision of the fund in accordance with Section 43, to institute proceedings for the judicial review of any decision of the appeal tribunal, to the protection of his or her rights to privacy and confidentiality in accordance with the Protection of Personal Information Act 2013, Act Number 4 of 2013, insofar as he or she must grant written approval for the disclosure of personal information in the possession of or accessible to the fund, unless the information is shared among healthcare service providers for the lawful purpose of serving the interests of users, or is utilized by the fund for any other lawful purpose related or incidental to the functions of the fund, to have access to information on the funding of healthcare services in the Republic, and to purchase healthcare services that are not covered by the fund through a complementary voluntary medical insurance scheme registered in terms of the Medical Schemes Act, any other private health insurance scheme, or out-of-pocket payments, as the case may be. Now, honorable members, you would now see why I earlier thought we should deal or manage our work as I had suggested in the beginning. But for today's purposes, we will continue as we had decided this morning. We'll take the entire clause, and you'll be able to give your inputs on the entire clause. But I think from next week, I'm making a proposal. From next week, I'm going to go clause and subclause. So that it's going to make it much easier for us than having to deal with, I think it's 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 subclauses in one clause. So it's going to make life much easier as we proceed. For now, I'm going to take hands, Honorable Gela, Honorable Clark, Honorable Ismail, Honorable Munyai, Honorable Suwela, Honorable Kaba. Please remember where your name is. You're writing for me. Honorable Howard, Honorable Sukers, is that still your legacy hand? I see yours is first. Honorable Sukers, I think. Honorable Van Staden, Honorable Chirwa. Was I able to? Okay, I'm going to try again, and Honorable Wilson. So do you all remember, I'm not able to write down at the same time unless we go slower. I'm going to try again. So did I say Clark, Ismail, Gela, Siwela? Sorry? First. Right. Gela, Clark, Wilson.
It's Ismail.
That's Ismail. Okay. Ismail. Who's this? Harvard? Suka. No, I missed out some here now.
I missed two here.
Hang on. I don't think it's going to matter whatever that order is now. Let me get this, please. So it's Gela, Clark, Ismail. I'm going to go in this order. Siwela, Munyai, Kaba, Harvard, on the platform, Sukers,
Chirwa,
Van Staden and Chirwa, and then Wilson.
And myself, two Chairperson.
And then Tembo Kwayo. Okay, in that order, honorable members, you remember your place.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Firstly, let me second or support you next week in our next meeting. I think it will be proper if we deal clause by clause, so that at least, and also subsection, so that at least we know everything accordingly. The way you are proposing, I'm supporting you, Chair, 100%, and it must be recorded. Chairperson, coming to the rights of users, clause 6, I want to make my submission 6A. ANC support this clause. users will be entitled to receive quality health care service using applicable standards and norms. That will be my submission. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Clark?
Thank you, Chairperson. And I'll go clause by clause so you don't have to sign. clause D, it says not to be refused access to healthcare services on unreasonable grounds. What would constitute unreasonable grounds? Then in terms of the appeals committee that has to be established, what criteria we need to know, what criteria will be used to establish that committee? And then just in terms of O, and this is just a comment where, you know, we're going to have NHI and they will provide certain treatment for certain cases, and then where they can't provide the certain treatment, we'll have to have a medical aid or a private insurance fund. And, you know, in this current economic climate of South Africa, where people are really, really strained at the moment financially, I just think this is going to place a massive burden on people where they've got to pay extra taxes. And I know Dr. Crisp said that people would not be paying extra taxes, but then in the next line it says they'll be sourced from payroll tax as one of the sources. So, I mean, you are going to be paying tax, irrespective of how you're going to put it to fund the NHI. And then you would also have to take a top-up insurance in order to cover what the NHI won't cover. And I just don't know if South Africans are going to be able to afford all that in this economic climate, because I think we have a very low rich class left in this country. People have now moved to middle class, and middle class have now moved to poor class because of the constraints we are having to deal with in this country. So that's a comment of mine, and that's an extremely worrying factor, is the funding around NHI and what additional taxes we would need to pay in order to fund. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry, the previous time I spoke, I think I even included clause 6 in there, with all the notes that I've written. But I also want to touch on clause 6O. It outlines the right of users to purchase healthcare services not covered by the fund through alternative funding mechanism. Now, this obviously, as my honourable clerk colleague has specified, due to this, you know, the impact of COVID and basically the state of our economy, this is going to put in unnecessary strain, further strain, I should say, on people, because they cannot actually afford two medical aids because that is what it's actually going to be boiling down to or coming down to. The second point is that users of the NHI fund retain the right to seek additional medical funding support from private medical aid schemes, not all citizens can afford again to contribute to a major concern, because I'm looking at it in a perspective, and you know, speaking to other people as well, looking at it in a perspective to say that, you know, you're actually hampering healthcare services by having these two specifications in. There's also a lack of transparency as to what is available, and hence nothing to prevent the state from withholding a reasonable standard of care and the available and appropriate, you know, clause should say status. This again a concern given the state's failure to procure and provide appropriate medication and food in a number of its hospitals currently. So, you know, just looking into the implementation on the ground currently, how is this actually going to be workable going into the NHI and ensuring that these type of issues don't, you know, come up again? Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Chairperson.
Chiwela?
Yes. Thank you, Chairperson. I also want to support you on your proposal that next week we do things differently for us to move faster. And I equally support Honorable Kela on what she said with regard to Clause 6A. And I will talk to Clause 6B and indicate that the African National Congress support this clause under the promotion of access to information. Users of healthcare services have a right to be given access to information regarding the fund and its operation. And secondly, this entails transparency and accountability to users. And further, with regard to clause 6C, I just want to indicate that the ANC support this clause. It is reasonable for an individual to receive information related to their health. And earlier on, Honorable Clark spoke to 6D, which deals with unreasonable ground. The African National Congress, I'm not so sure whether this will be of help to him. The African National Congress support this clause. And of course, for us, the meaning of unreasonable ground, as outlined in the proposed revised definitions, which probably Honorable Munyaye spoke to last week, will actually mean beyond the limits of account of acceptability or fairness. So I submit, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Munya.
Thank you very much, esteemed Honorable Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee and the people of South Africa. The Clause 6N, Honorable Chair, that's what the African National Congress support. I mean, this clause of clause 6N, I must repeat. The users, Honorable Chair, should always have access to full, accurate, and transparent information about the healthcare services they are entitled to receive at all levels of care. Such information, Honorable Chair, should be readily accessible in local languages, through the local media and other publicly accessible communication channels. Thank you, Honorable Chair. That will be my submission from the African National Congress.
Thank you, Honorable Kaba.
No, thanks, Chair. I think I also rise, Chair, in support of Honorable Kela, Siwela, and Munyaye, who just spoke now. But wanting to also emphasize on Clause 6G, which state that to be treated with professional standard of care. The ANC supports this clause on a basis that a commitment to Batupil principles, which stipulates that the standard of care may not be lowered or will progressively, and may not be lowered, instead it will be progressively improved. This is in line with the principle of service standards, where users must be told what level and quality public services. This will receive so that we are aware of what to expect. So this is in line with Batupil principles. Lastly, Chair, I also want to input on the Clause 6J, which says that to request written reasons for decisions of the fund. The ANC supports this clause because it enquires the NHI fund, consistent with other state drug structures, must operate in an open and transparent way. And users must be provided with sufficient, detailed, understandable, and accessible information regarding NHI fund's decisions. So, written reasons, it's a good thing. So it is supported in that it opens up. So transparent to it. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Albert.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The ANC support Clause 6, rights of users. Also, I add other inputs for Clause 6L. ANC supports this clause as well. It recognizes the importance of allowing users to seek judicial review when unhappy with the decisions reached by the appeal tribunal. Users must be provided with full information of decisions, reached with relevant details appropriately, communicated in a timely manner. Thank you.
Honorable Sukers.
Yes, Chair. I have a process question, Chair, and it comes from the discussion previously on Clause 5, which we still don't, I don't have any idea, and I may have missed it, in terms of how provisions are made for undocumented children. And I'm asking a process question in relation to this. Are considerations being given to all inputs of all members of this committee? Or are we here to just rubber stamp whatever is being put there? Because then we can all just sit here and, you know, I really need to know, is all considerations being given to the inputs here? I've raised the matter of undocumented children. Several members have. I don't have a clue. How does the clause that we've just left or completed consideration is, has been made? In order to ensure that those children have access. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Sukers.
Chairperson, I, as an IFP member, I'm not a rubber stamp in this committee. Thank you.
All of us, Chair.
Well, Honorable members. Thank you, Maslingo, for what you have just raised. But let me myself explain to Honorable Sukers what we are doing. That is why this process is as thorough as it is. And I have asked before that we be patient with this process. There's a lot of talk on the content here where we interrogate words. And it's correct so that we have to interrogate every single word, words like must and may, etc., which are constantly coming up. It is correct so. But it is also correct that we follow the right process so that when there is any challenge in the future, that we are not found wanting in terms of what we had done in our committee meetings. And for that purpose, I am the chairperson of this committee. And I would then, when issues are raised by members, let me be the first call instead of everybody putting their hands up and then wanting to answer. See if I'm clever enough or intelligent enough to manage that process. Then you decide when I am not capable, you're very welcome to say, no, you have talked spoken nonsense here now. You haven't really answered the point. So, why am I saying this? I'm saying this in particular because we then be going from one to the other every single day in that order, and we are not going to advance the work that is set before us. So allow me, Honorable Sukers. I did say that when we have completed these discussions, there are notes being taken by the, I'm going to start on my left, the NDOH, the legal advisors, state law advisors and the legal advisor to Parliament, and then also the members themselves. Every single member here is familiarizing themselves with what is being said by another member. So when we come back next week, we will take from clause 2 up to where we end today. We'll get these inputs, but we would have to advance the work and not go back to it all the time. Otherwise, we're not going to progress. And that's the final say. Honorable Munyai, I've just spoken on this issue. I hope you don't want to speak on the same point. I see your hand is raised. All right. Honorable Munyai.
Chair, while I was speaking, my system shut down, so I had to restart it. I missed two input, if I could be allowed to conclude it.
All right. Can I just then conclude? Thank you very much. Noted.
Honorable Chair, and the people of South Africa, the ANC rise to support.
Honourable Munwe.
Okay.
I'll call you for that now. I said, let me finish what I was saying. Thank you very much. So, Honorable Sukers, I hope that answers your question and your concerns. And we'll be following that process and procedure as we go forward. All right. That having been said, I just need to familiarize myself. Honorable Sukers, are you completed with what, your point? Is that your only point you wanted to raise?
That was my only point. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Munya, I'll allow you now. And then I'll thank continue you. Down the list, Honorable Members.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. As I said, I support what Honorable Gela and what Honorable Taba and Honorable Swera would have said. Let me conclude with the two outstanding input that I want to make. I want to, the ANC rise to support Clause 6K and on the basis that it recognized the importance of the following of the of allowing the users to seek redress in the when they are dissatisfied with a decision reached by the fund, and this must happen in an environment where users' rights are respected and is sympathetic in a sympathetic manner. User must always be treated with courtesy and must not accept any form of insensitive treatment. Honorable Chair, I also support the clause 6F as the on behalf of the ANC. This means, Honorable Chair, on the basis that the meaning of reasonable time of period as outlined in the proposed revised definition, as defined by the Benefits Advisory Committee through the clinical guidelines and protocol, as well as the standard of operation procedure. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, for considering my input. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Munya. Honorable Suwela, did I skip you? No. Okay, second round. Can I give you a second round? Thank you very much. Since we had a second round earlier, I'll go to Honorable. Yes, we're still busy with our first round. I agree. Now, where am I now?
I'm next, Chair. I think so.
The Honorable Van Staden is next.
Thank you, Chairperson. Now, on Clause 6, the very first paragraph, without derogating from any other right or entitlement granted under this Act or under any other law, a user of healthcare services purchased by the fund is entitled within the state's available and appropriate resources. My question is, what is the state's current available and appropriated resources? The question is, and I need some help here, is can our state hospitals and clinics with the current challenges of shortages of doctors and nurses and medicines and equipment be seen as a favorable environment for the implementation of the NHI? So that is my concern that I have on the state's availability and appropriate resources. Do we know what it is and is it available? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Cherua.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I want to raise an issue with number 6A on the issue of proof of registration being a requirement before accessing or having access to the fund. I don't think this particular clause works in favor of everything, really. It's just an issue of access that we've been constantly been raising. That the issue of the NHI presents itself as a solution to access to healthcare. But it's clauses such as this that then isolate people from the issue of access. And the fact that we're talking about documentation and we're talking about the referral system and we're talking about access goes to show that the very same people it maneuvers or presents itself to having been here to serve, which are poor people, are actually being isolated in these tiny clauses like this one as well. There shouldn't be anyone that it does that there shouldn't be a requirement. The registration to the fund should be a prerequisite to accessing access
to the fund, right? Because number one, we don't know the time frame of the registrations of the users of the NHI. And it isn't stipulated either. There isn't even a surety of this process being done diligently and efficiently either. There must be a provision for healthcare to still be accessible regardless of whether a person is registered or not. And number 6D is in complete contradiction of 6FGH, which primarily make room for access. But 6D and 6A then come and maneuver in as one of the barriers that will have us coming once again, keep coming back on the issue of access, which is what the bill wants to achieve, even though we know that politically, even though we know politically and socially, this is not the case. Because as much as we say we want to bridge the gap between private and public hospitals, people in township areas are still going to be exposed to public healthcare facilities. People in rural areas, there's no private hospitals in rural areas. So they will still be exposed to private facilities. So when we say we are bridging the gap between the poor and the rich by making access possible in the private sector, we're talking about people who are living in affluent areas who have Netcare in their close range, which then they can apply this issue of referral. I know I'm digressing a bit, but I'm trying to raise the issue of access continuing to be an issue even in this particular clause. And it's something we've been raising in the clauses prior to this one, but it still suffices in this particular clause. What then becomes a direction? Because then whatever is what the purpose of this bill and how it was presented to us is that it wants to resolve the issue of access, right? By prioritizing universal healthcare coverage. But now we keep on highlighting issues in this particular bill, in these clauses, that contradict that very same sentiment. Does then the preamble still suffice if these issues are still coming up, if issues of access are still coming up, if issues of documentation are still coming up, if issues of poor people having access are still coming up, if issues of public facilities being ready infrastructurally with human resource are still coming up, does it still suffice as a bill that leads us towards quality or access to healthcare? It does not, sadly, whether we want to believe it or not. And these particular small Nyana clauses are proof of that. 6A should be completely scrapped off. Nothing must keep people from accessing the fund, whether they are registered or not. Nothing should keep them from accessing the fund. Whether it is by choice, whether it is by situation, whether it is by the social or political economic circumstances, nothing should keep people from accessing the fund, even if they are not registered for the fund. And that process should be outlined, and that particular issue should be outlined properly, overtly. And these smaller Nyana clauses that make room for that to be possible or to happen, because we also won't do oversight in all the 4,000 clinics and 5,000 hospitals in the country. It's impossible. And we'll still face issues of people calling us as members of parliament and calling public servants in the country to say that they were turned away because they don't have proof of registration. And it is also encapsulated within the bill. So the people who will be turning them back won't even be wrong, because there's room for that in these very same clauses. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Wilson, followed by Honorable Dr. Themba Kwayo.
Thank you, Chairperson. Okay, so Clause 6 basically deals with the rights of users. And in this case, what does the Constitution and the Bill of Rights say, and what should people be getting? And I think that this rights of users is what that is trying to address. Okay. And going through Clause 6, I think constitutionally, in other words, the constitutional right of people to quality access to quality healthcare and all of those kind of things, what they should be able to get, I think is encapsulated in Clause 6. I know that as we go forward in this process, and I have read the bill rights through, we are going to go to clauses, other clauses and breakdowns of particular issues and the wording around quality, access, accreditation. So I'm not going to deal with that now, because I do believe that Clause 6 itself and what people should get, and please note I say should, is encapsulated in the rights of users in this section of the bill. So at this stage, I am prepared to support what's basically there, because I think the questions we need to ask ourselves are going to come up in clauses, the other clauses, the breakdown of appeal boards and access and quality and accreditation further down the bill. I know that that's coming. Just to say though, and we have turned down bills in Parliament before on the grounds that they are unsustainable. Okay. And why am I raising this now under this? Well, simply, you know, people are entitled to necessary quality healthcare. They must get it. They're entitled to it. The Bill of Rights says they must. Okay. They're not. And that is my concern. And I'm just going to use one statistic to support the comment, is that in the 2016-2017 OHSC report, and this is specifically on MMR, okay, maternity mortality rates, MMRs, okay, which is one of the areas we focus on when we look at healthcare. It's one of the key things that determines the level of healthcare. And at that stage, only 7 establishments out of 696 public health facilities managed to reach the score necessary to be accredited as an NHI service provider. So while clause 6 deals with what they should get, in our current health system, it is unsustainable under the Department of Health in the current system. Okay. And my particular concern is, and I know we are going to this further up the line, when it comes to asking questions about the fund, why were we denied, laying complaints and all of those kind of things. Ultimately, these go to the health ombudsman. And I know that we will deal with that as we go further. But we have continually in this start of the NHI process compared ourselves to the national health system in Britain. And I just want to highlight one issue because it's important, is that our health ombudsman's got 4 members of staff. You're going to be dealing with millions of complaints when this starts out. He's got 4 members of staff. The same office in Britain where we consistently compare ourselves to, or what we would like to achieve, has got 80. So from my perspective, you want this to work, I'll support the clause because it covers the Bill of Rights and it covers what people should get. Don't tell us what we should get if you can't deliver what they should get. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Temba Kwayo.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to ask you as a Chairperson before I can support what Honorable Chira said, to say, you know, I'm wondering whether we'll be able to achieve on the intended achievement of implicating some, including some amendments, suggestions into this position. Why? Because I feel you are the Chairperson, you chair the committee, and the committee consists of all the different political parties. But for you as the Chairperson to say, as the ANC, as the Chairperson and everything, it's contradicting. Please, I think you just have got to put your facts through and consider all our facts without saying that you support the thing. Leave it to the members that are there to can make a conclusive suggestion, as it may be. Because for us, it means it's just an exercise that we are doing, but our possible amendments, as it is suggested right now, will never be taken into consideration. That is what my thought. And secondly, to say, I support what Honorable Chira has said, to say definitely we won't be able to support the information as it reflected in Section 6, because we had a problem of undocumented people, including production of producing the proof of residences and so on and so on. So we definitely not in line with what you have read or what is contained in the NHI bill. Thank you.
Thank you, honourable members. We have 18 minutes left of today's meeting. I have not been able to give my own input. The input I'm about to give is the input as a member of the African National Congress. So there's a distinction between when I chair the meeting and when I give input on the bill. I also have the right to have a view, and I also have the right to express that view, and I also have the right to express that view in terms of the party which I represent. So I think I'm going to now give my input on two sub-clauses of the bill, which would be sub-clause H, which reads to make reasonable decisions about his or her health care. Now, we understand that all people who are capable of making those decisions about their own health care should be allowed to be able to make those decisions. And this is basically what this clause is saying, that people have the right to full and accurate information. They should be provided with such at any of the public services which they will receive now or even receive in the future, or that they are entitled to receive. And then also that it will include being consulted about the level of care which they need to receive, the quality of the services which they need to receive and to access, and what are those services specifically which they have a right to access. So the ANC supports this clause. And then on clause 6.0, which deals with the purchase of healthcare services, and in particular, the title says the rights of users, or users have the right to purchase healthcare services which are not covered in terms of this bill and in terms of the services which will be provided. And that could be either through complementary medical schemes. It could be, which are then, of course, registered in terms of the Medical Schemes Act, or out of pocket, as the case may be. It is also in line. We would then think that the medical schemes which are registered would be then in line with the Medical Schemes Act, as I mentioned earlier. And the ANC also supports this clause. So, honorable members, that has concluded the first round. I see many hands going up inside the venue. I have seen Honorable Kaba was first. Let's just write this down this time. So, a bit of patience from yourselves, Kaba. And then I saw Siwela. I saw Gela. Munyai. Any on the virtual platform, so that I don't take you last every time, Clark? Honorable Sukers and Honorable Chirwa. Any other members? Honorable Kaba, we start with you. I'm going to repeat. Kaba, Siwela, Gela, Munyai, Clark, Sukar, Chirwa.
Thanks. I think as the ANC, we support that clause 6 be understood properly, and it is correct the manner in which Honorable Munyai and Gela had outlined, including Siwela. The issue of the access, Chair, whether it is emergency, it is on children, it is on undocumented, that we have spoken to. We said that Section 27 on the Bill of Rights, that is access to, there is no way that the NHI from its preamble will undermine the Constitution. We also said, Chair, on clause 5.4b, that there will be no children that are left behind on the pass laws, which it is also deals on access. We also said on the undocumented that children of asylum seekers or which are illegally registered at birth on 5.3 will be accommodated. We also said that, that the health patient registration system registers the undocumented people already. And Honorable Munyai Chair had also said that the issue of access, especially on 6N, also will deal with the issue of your local languages. The access is adequately attended to. So therefore, clause 6, it's relevant. We must just understand wherein people will be able to register their accessibility in accessing the system. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, thank you. I just want to make a short input with regard to clause 6I. Chair, the ANC support this clause simply because this clause recognizes the importance of allowing users to redress when dissatisfied with the standard of service received, and equally empowers them to submit complaints that must be attended to swiftly and effectively. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I also want to make my input in clause 6E. ANC supports this clause. This is in line with the constitutional and our Bill of Rights. Then the other one, Chairperson, that I want to also to submit my position or my comments, it's clause 6M. African National Congress supports this clause. This is in the spirit of ensuring that the provisions of this bill are consistent and prescribes in the Constitution. A Protection of Personal Information Act 2013. The other input, Chair, the information is necessary for the operation of the fund so that it can serve the interest of users of healthcare services. Thank you, Chairperson. And I support your input, Chairperson, as also contributed towards this bill. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
You forgot me.
Yes, no, I didn't forget you. I just want to also say, so I don't always put myself in the end, just to say that I had read what I thought is an amendment we want to put forward to under clause 6, subclause O. And this time, I just want to read it in terms of what I had said as an amendment that is being proposed. And it should read, to purchase healthcare services that are not covered by the fund through a complementary medical scheme registered in terms of the Medical Schemes Act or out of pocket, as the case may be. Just to make sure that that is captured. Honorable Bunya, you may continue.
No, I wanted to reaffirm that slight amendment of 6O as you read it, as to purchase healthcare services that are not covered by the fund through the a complementary medical scheme registered in terms of Medical Schemes Act or out of pocket, as the case may be. This is in line, Honorable Chair, with provision of the Medical Schemes Act. Thank you. I'm supporting your view, Honorable Chair, on that clause 6O subsection.
Thank you. Honorable Clark.
Thank you, Chairperson. A lot of discussion has taken place today, and there's clauses that we've discussed today that makes absolute sense, but on paper, very often things make a lot of sense, but it's when it comes to the implementation where you see whether you are going to be successful or not. And in the view of the DA, many of these clauses make a lot of sense, but we don't think they're sustainable and we don't think they'll be achieved. And therefore, we will not support the bill at this stage. And I would really like to make a recommendation to the department. I don't know how often our staff are out on the ground, but we certainly do a lot of those things. And when you go and visit some of these hospitals, I'm telling you, you are shocked at what you find. And Honorable Ismail can bear me out. We went to visit O.R. Tambo Hospital in Boksburg. I mean, it's a nightmare, absolute nightmare. And I suggest, you know, we actually compile a document of all our health facilities to ensure that our health facilities actually are able to sustain what's in these very good clauses here. Thank you.
Honorable Sukers.
Yeah, Chair. I think we are on record, the ACDP, that we do not support the NHI because of the current environment and the issues of access and infrastructure as outlaid by my colleagues very well earlier. So I actually want clarity on the right to make the right to make reasonable decisions about his or her health care. And the clarity I seek is how this would pertain especially to children, and specifically children between the ages that is below the age of 18. So if I could get clarity, I know that in terms of the Children's Act as well, with certain procedures that children can, at the age of 12, for instance, make a decision in regard to abortion, things like that. How does, if I can get clarity in terms of that, the issue of parental right and informed consent, how it pertains to that particular line. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable members, just be reminded we have 5 minutes left. So we have two members who still want to raise their points. And then after that, our time will be expired for this meeting. Honorable Chirwa.
Sorry, Chair. My hand's up, but I don't want to discuss the bill. I just want, if we can just have a couple of minutes at the end of this to discuss the way forward over the next few weeks. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Chirwa.
Thank you, Chairperson. The EFF rejects this clause. As much as we reject the NHI, we will not be part of a group of people that will mislead this country into thinking that the NHI will usher in access by outsourcing healthcare in the private sector when there's no private hospitals in townships, in rural areas, and in informal settlements, especially when there's clauses that exist like 6A and 6D, which is in complete contradiction of 6FGH. And also our Bill of Rights as well. So in as much as we reject the NHI, there's another reason on top of that, and proof and evidence that there's clauses, even in this NHI, that masquerades as something that will usher access to our people, that it is not the case, as proven with this particular clause that we mentioned before. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Ismail.
Thank you, Chair. I forgot to say this previously. I'm partly covered by Honorable Wilson and Honorable Clark, but, you know, I just want to say that, you know, since we have a major service delivery on the end of most of our public healthcare facilities currently, and we have a, you know, a very good document stating here that this will be done and the infrastructure will be upgraded, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we obviously look forward to that. We look forward to the day when we actually have an efficient healthcare system in South Africa. However, since we're looking at this NHI bill right now, and once, if, and it is passed the parliament, you know, going through the courts and whatever is necessary, I just want to ask a point of clarity is that are we going to be looking at then implementing the NHI only when our infrastructure has been adequately upgraded to the necessary requirements of compliance of the health, you know, the Office of the Health Standards and Compliance. Secondly, is that I forgot to bring up the issue here, is that the NHI bill, you know, need to clearly express, and maybe I've missed it, please guide me if I have. The NHI bill must clearly express that a healthcare practitioner will not lose his or her accreditation if he or she chooses, you know, to actually prescribe medicine that is out of the formulary in circumstances where the cost of the medication would not have otherwise been covered by the fund. So I just want to ensure that is there a choice of right to say, you know what, Sometimes when you go to the doctor will tell you there's this medication and this medication. Do you want the generic or do you want this one? Or, you know, the difference in the medication. So I just want to know that if a doctor actually prescribes something out of their formulary, will he or she then lose their accreditation? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Suri. There was a light hand of Honorable Sengwa.
Thank you, Chairperson. As an IFP, we are the party which is going right down to the grassroots level where people of South Africa are just poorest. We are, as IFP, going down there and look at their image. Therefore, we fully support this NHI so that our people down there will be supported and will get healthy in the healthcare services. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable members, just be mindful, we have 1 minute left. We also have a request from Honorable Wilson on the way forward. Is that something that we can do next week? Next week, we're going to continue with second round. Honorable Munyai, then?
No, thank you very much indeed. As the African National Congress, we support the hold clause 6 with a slight amendment that has been recorded before this meeting. I will appreciate that, Honorable Chair, those slight amendments that was in 6 subsection O, as has been read by yourself and also reaffirmed by myself. And we are so grateful that what we put forward, for instance, Honorable Chairperson, in all the members of the African National Congress, has been solid, concrete, clause by clause, which will stand by ourselves. And if you will advise us, because all what we spoke before us, we're going to email towards the Secretary and copy the Chairperson, all individual members of the African National Congress. And don't forget that slight amendment that we have made on 6 subsection O. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members. You've just gone from a bronze medal to a silver today. Thank you. I applaud you. I hope we will advance to the gold medals very soon, but we've done very well. I thank you personally for a wonderful meeting today. Remember where we have ended? We have ended with a first round on clause 6. It could be that there will not be a second because we've concluded it unless we're going to be fair to everyone and bring that second round next week. But have a wonderful sitting today. We thank the department for coming too. We thank the state law advisors for coming. Legal representative to Parliament. I have a safe trip home. Enjoy the sitting today. And Honorable Wilson, as to whether we have received permission for next week, Tuesday, is still an open question because we do advance as we have to request. It is not a case of I can just call meetings. No, we have to follow the program of Parliament and be advised and agreed to by our superiors. So as far as we are concerned, every Wednesday morning is our meeting time. If we get additional time, we take that additional time. So Honorable Wilson, you wanted to quickly say then something? I see your hand is raised again.
I thank you, Chairperson. Yes, because we had a bit of a mix-up this week where we were all trying to rush down to get here yesterday in time for a portfolio that never took place. It was later explained to us why, but, you know, there's no aeroplanes.
Sorry?
No aeroplanes. Yeah. The flights are pretty full with the grounding of with the Com Air planes. So we need that information quite well in advance. The other concern, and I raised it on the group chair, is next Thursday, and I know we're not meeting next Thursday, is a public holiday. It's Tuesday. And a lot of us are involved in big events on Tuesday that we're supporting. So for me who comes from Limpopo, it takes me a day to get here and it takes me a day to get home, and that's how I have to plan my life. So, you know, there will be times where, you know, because a lot of us are going to be in the same situation next week, that, you know, that, and while we want one-on-one meetings, these kind of meetings when there's public holidays as well as sittings, as well as everything else happening on, and I will speak for myself because I can't speak for everybody, that I will have to do virtually because I cannot fly down on a Tuesday night for a meeting on Wednesday and excuse myself halfway through the afternoon on Wednesday to fly back. So, and the other concerns, Chair, and I know you are waiting, you've explained that it's on approval of certain procedures and budgets and what have you. This, we are still months into this. I mean, you know, if we're going to do two clauses every time we have a sitting, we're still a long way away, and we're not getting to the technical clauses yet. So, you know, and I also expressed this on the group. We're going into a recess period. We know what that recess period has been from the beginning of the term. A couple of us are going in for surgeries or have, you know, chosen that time to book and take away breaks, which is what, you know, we need. After we deal with bills like this, it's quite exhausting. We are saying, please, while this bill is important, and I know recess is a long one, we are very full over recess. Certainly very difficult to fly down for meetings if we can attend at all. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. So, honourable members, we did say earlier there was a reason for not having the meeting yesterday. Apart from that, we're also aware that our secretary is not well. So I think we must really be mindful when things change. That's the nature of life. It changes all the time. Only thing that is constant is change. So when you do get a notice a little bit late, I hope you will see life in that way, that change is inevitable. But we try our utmost best to inform you as early as we possibly can, as we had applied now, hopefully by Friday, considering how our secretary also feels. So having said that, I also want to wish her again a good recovery. And from all of us, I hear from all of us, Ms. Majalamba, and good recovery for you and also for your family. And with that having said, honourable members, you will be notified in advance whether we're sitting on Tuesday or Wednesday. We know those will be attending virtually, and this meeting is therefore adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Record.